I believe the questions we ask ourselves and others often add more value to our life than the answers they elicit. I wonder why. I wonder how. I wonder who and where and what. But it's more fun to wonder if. Saul D. Alinsky was an American community organizer. He's commonly referred to as the founder of modern community organizing. He was in New York. And he's wrote a popular book, he's no longer with us, called, and I love this title, Rules for Radicals, A Pragmatic Primer for Realistic Radicals. And in that book he wrote, the question mark is an inverted plow, breaking up the hard soil of old beliefs and preparing for the new growth. So I want to say that again, because it took me a couple of times the first time I heard it to understand just exactly what old Saul was saying. The question mark, you know, that question mark, when it's inverted, looks like a plow. And it is breaking up the hard soil of our old beliefs. Anybody have an old belief they have trouble letting go of or getting rid of? And preparing for new growth. Well, what a perfect description for our exploration today. Last week, I sat in discussion, and I had really questioned whether or not I even was going to go to this particular meeting, because I didn't really feel like going, and it didn't seem like it was going to add anything, and I wasn't sure I was going to add anything to my life. However, I was preparing for speaking with you folks, and as I sat in the discussion, the topic, which had not been previously announced, was questions. And here are some of the thoughts and feelings that were expressed last week. I don't like to ask questions when things are going well. We only ask questions when we have a problem to solve. I think questions are a challenge. Well, I like challenges. So I like questions. In fact, questions asked of me and asked by me are some of my favorite parts of any conversation. They make me think. And they're second only to hearing someone else's story. And then I get to ask more questions. So when Elizabeth Barrett Browning asked, what'd she ask? How do I love thee? And the answer, she answered the question herself, let me count the ways. Well, I can guarantee that that question has been asked repeatedly before she asked it and since. And even today, people are still answering that question. And the same can be said for the question that John F. Kennedy posed to the nation in his inauguration. Ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. In fact, maybe we've all been asking that question of ourselves over the past year. But his question really raised huge issues and brought forth opportunities for young people in ways that they had never experienced before as Americans going out into the world doing work in the Peace Corps and many other ways as well. In the workbook for A Course in Miracles, many questions are asked, as you know. What would you have me do? Where would you have me go? What would you have me say and to whom? Questions are a part of being human. Asking a question may even become the first step on a new life journey. Think about it. Will you marry me? What should my career be? Where should I go to school? Should I go to school? Can I go to school? What will my life bring? What will I bring to my life? Often, when we're working on ourselves and doing our work, our why questions lead us to the discovery of new truths that we hold in hidden recesses that we had no idea were there. Have you ever just known something and you don't know how you knew it? I call that what we don't know we know. Sometimes a question even calls us to action, either immediately or eventually, realizing what you wonder about something opens your mind and encourages you to find out more. When we open ourselves to the hard questions, we open up boxes of well-stored information in ourselves. After my first husband left, I worked with a therapist twice a week for 2 years, thank goodness for insurance, to understand what happened to the glorious marriage that I thought I was living in and why. I learned more really important stuff during those 2 years than I have at any other time in my life, because I learned to ask myself the really hard questions, and I dug deeply to discover my own answers. Learning to ask hard questions takes courage, and each of us has the ability to do it. Anyone can ask hard questions of themselves or of others, but you gotta wanna. Here's an example of how it works. You may remember a story that I shared probably about a year ago or more, maybe 2 years ago, about a very important question that a minister posed in a sermon. And it went like this. Imagine forgiving someone for something that is unforgivable. Imagine forgiving someone for something that is unforgivable. Think about that for just a minute. Who would you forgive and for what? She asked, and immediately I knew my answer. And this could be a clue that my answer was not necessarily right, but more along the wrong lines. My answer was that I would be called to forgive not one person, but several. And these people all played a role in what ultimately led to the dissolution of my business of 20 years and a very deep and painful crisis of self for me. And that was a lot to forgive in my book. I knew who the main characters were, and I took these two questions very seriously. The seeds of the questions were planted deeply in my mind and heart. The questions were posed during Holy Week. For the next 16 months, they germinated. And occasionally, I'd think about those folks that I was supposed to be forgiving. I'd try to think thoughts of forgiveness, and I made little progress. I was still angry and hurt. More than a year later, I sat in a garage-like storage unit, sorting through 20 years' worth of projects we'd completed for clients and all kinds of papers, and this was really a walk down memory lane. There were memories of the career I had shaped for myself, and along with the joy, I also felt loss and sadness as I went through everything, and my mind and heart were both full. I was disposing of the remnants of a large part of my life. And what I wasn't doing was thinking about the questions my minister had posed. And then, suddenly, really truly, without any warning, the bright summer sun began to shine right on me. And until that moment, I'd been sitting in the shade. I was sitting inside this storage unit. It was then that I completely understood, in that moment, without preparing for any kind of an answer to a question that I hadn't recently asked, what those questions were really about. I didn't need to forgive those people I held responsible for this huge loss in my life. I needed to forgive myself for my reaction to those people. The most amazing understanding flooded my mind. They had not orchestrated my downfall. They had merely played a part in the universe giving me what I had been asking for, a way to retire from the work as I had been doing it. But the question, as I understood it, had actually shifted the burden of responsibility from others to me. Those two simple questions, which weren't a central theme in a sermon, but an incidental part of a sermon about Jesus asking God to forgive the people who had chosen to crucify him. I share this story with you because I believe it's an excellent illustration of how important asking questions can be in our personal growth. Without that minister asking those two questions, I would not have come to the place where I understood what was really happening. Who would I forgive and for what? I would not have found my own answers that began true healing in me. I had to forgive myself and to understand exactly what burden I had brought on myself. As time passed, I spent some more time thinking about how the whole painful scenario wasn't what I thought it had been. As I asked myself, my understanding actually shifted 180 degrees simply because a question had been asked. The wonder of questions. The upshot of this experience is that now I intentionally look at a situation from several different angles, not only from my own personal perspective, but what else influenced the situation. I ask myself the hard questions, and I also ask hard questions of others. So how does that look? Well, I call it a practice, and I've been practicing for about 30 years. You see, I'm a pretty good listener. I like to hear what others have to say. And years ago, when a young college graduate and a family friend came to me and asked what I thought of an idea that she had about what she was going to do, which was to move to Spain to live with her boyfriend, she wasn't sure what to do. I said, "So what do you want to do?" And she told me she wasn't sure, and then I asked another question. And I asked another question. And I asked another question. And as I asked the questions, she began to understand. So I asked, "What will happen if you do go to Spain with Larry?" "Well, what will happen if you don't go to Spain with Larry?" And she answered. And this went on for about an hour. We went back and forth. And by the time she left, she had her answer. I hadn't given her any answer at all. She found it. She hugged me and thanked me and went on her way. And about 10 years ago, we happened to be talking again. We talked in between, too. But we happened to be talking again, and she said, "You always ask the hard questions." And I hadn't really thought about that until she used those words to describe what I was doing. I hadn't really thought about it being hard questions. They seemed like simple questions. And I assured her I asked them of myself as well as others. The practice of recognizing anxiety or fear or sadness or pain or even rage is best addressed first by asking ourselves, what is this really about? The problem with asking the question only once is the obvious answer is not necessarily the whole truth, as evidenced by my response to the questions my minister asked. So I asked myself or someone else a second time and a third time, what is this really about? Dig deep. It may not be comfortable. Remind yourself, though, that it will always be worth it. The most important thing to remember is ask all of these questions from a place of love. Whether you're asking yourself or someone else, come from a place of love. I can't tell you what the result will be when you ask yourself the questions. I never know what it will be for me. If I knew, I wouldn't be asking the question. But I do know that positive changes have always followed for me when I ask the hard questions. Not easy changes, positive. Others have been amazed at what a few well-asked questions can do for their own understanding of a problem, a challenge, a relationship. Asking the right question at the right time with patience and love, and sometimes with persistence, can change their world, or at least their perception of it. Now, you might notice I haven't talked much about what the answers are when you ask these questions, and there's a reason for that. Italian-American poet John Ciardi explores it better than I can when he says, "A good question is never answered. It is not a bolt to be tightened into place, but a seed to be planted and to bear more seed toward the hope of greening the landscape of idea." I'm going to read that again. "A good question is never answered. It's not a bolt to be tightened into place, but a seed to be planted and to bear seed, more seed toward the hope of greeting the landscape of idea." There's so many beautiful, revealing, surprising, and difficult questions that we might ask ourselves as we move through life. And I'd like to leave you with six questions inspired leaders never stop asking, according to Chris Trout in his book, Strengths in Focus. He says, "Inspired people are curious." Well, that's pretty true, I think. That's why they're inspired. They love learning what they don't know, what they haven't seen or heard, and discovering new ways of thinking and being. And here are his 6 questions that he believes inspired leaders ask. Who am I? And I would encourage you to use the technique of putting the emphasis on each word one at a time. So, who am I? Who am I? Who am I? And then the second question is, what is true? And the third one, who is showing up within ourselves? And the fourth, why are you or they here? In other words, what role are those different beings or people playing? The fifth question is, what do you want? And the sixth one is, how does that look today? In other words, how does what you want look today? Those questions could keep us busy for quite some time, couldn't they? Well, that might be for another day. In closing, though, today I'd like to share one last quote. This one is from German poet, and I had to listen on Google to find out how to pronounce this name. Rina Maria Rilke. German. Don't search for the answers which could not be given to you now, because you would not be able to live them. And the point is to live everything. Live the questions now. Perhaps then, someday, far in the future, you will gradually, without even noticing it, live your way into the answer. What questions would you like to live into this week? I wonder. Namaste.